This podcast, Czech German Perspectives, is brought to you by the Czech German Young Professionals Program. To find out more, check out our website at cgypp.eu. This podcast is about giving, on the one hand, an interesting figure, businessman and Central Eastern European pioneer voice. And on the other hand, I wanted to give you, the audience listening to this podcast, a business insight into a dynamic society and economy. I'm happy that Markus Schulz agreed and found a time slot in his busy schedule to speak with me today. And I'm glad that you're here, Markus. Nice to have you here on my podcast. I'm so glad that you came from the thriving city of Warsaw to speak with me about the future of Poland, the new economic and moral leader of Europe. So Markus, many Germans still see Poland as a low-income country with people working hard on local farms for a very small salary. But this changed completely. Nowadays, we identify a turnaround with a lot of German people working in Poland. You are one of them, Markus. In fact, Poland is one of the most rapidly rising economies in Europe. Since 1989, Poland's economy grew a stunningly 826%, now ranking the fifth strongest economy in Europe.
Yeah, thank you very much for this brief introduction. I'm here today maybe to kind of clear up a couple of prejudices which still exist, especially like out of Western European eyes with regards to Central and Eastern Europe, especially to Poland and Czech Republic. I think there's a bit of a misconception in some of these assumptions, treating or considering these countries still as kind of low income. You know, this is a typical view that has established after the revolution in those countries in the early 90s or late 80s. But I think in the meantime, CE is one of the absolute engines of European economical development, and those societies have massively catched up on the last 20 years, I would say, or the last 15 years in particular, especially Poland with the highest GDP growth in average over the last 15 years in Europe, which has dramatically changed the environment in Poland and also the landscape. You know, if you only consider on the infrastructure and the industrial developments in that country, then I think, of course, the medium income in those countries is lower than in Western Europe, but we see a massive development, and I think it's only a question of time until there will be a level up.
Markus, you are an experienced CEO and manager with a history of working in the real estate industry. You started studying in law in Germany, finishing with a doctorate at the Charles University in Prague, and then started working as a lawyer, gaining a lot of experience in the real estate and investment markets. You have a vast international track record and you're living with your family in Prague, but you are basically traveling a lot. So tell me something more about you, Markus, that has something to do with our podcast today.
Yeah, that's a quite, let's say, colorful story. So I've been born in Western Germany in the 80s, and my mom had one of these cliche stories, I would say, of a young Czechoslovakian escaping from the communist regime in the early 70s into the West, which I think many people at the time desired and some executed. So there was a couple of waves of a so-called brain drain from Poland, Czechoslovakia at the time, and also other Eastern European countries under the communist rule, let's maybe call it like that. So that's basically where I grew up. And after my studies, I was always kind of connected to Czech and Czechoslovakia because I visited it as a child, very often see my grandparents, and I learned the language. So about 15 years ago, after I had worked in London, I then decided to relocate to Prague because I always had a very special feel for the city. And I had the feeling back in the days that there was always like a transition from east to west, but there was very few people transitioning from west to east, and I saw kind of a business opportunity arising in that. At the time I was a lawyer and also some work experience already in Prague, and I decided to kind of change a little bit also my job description and enter investment businesses back then. So I started working with running my own company for German investment entities in Czech Republic in the beginning, and that led to spread then to Czech Republic, Slovakia, then Poland. And then I also facilitated first outbound businesses by big Czech investment entities into Western European markets because I was kind of a bridge builder, a rare one, because as I said, there was a lot of Czechs desiring to work in Germany, but few Germans desiring to work in the Czech Republic. So that development kind of, let's say, kind of sharpened or shaped me in terms of regional preference. And then about 2.5 years ago, I was addressed by a German investment fund, DLE, Deutsche Landentwicklungs AG, to establish their offices in Warsaw, as they had expansion plans after being very successful with their businesses in Germany. Their logical next step seemed to appear to go to Poland.
Why?
That's why. And it's a good question. DLE had understood back in the days that the markets had been kind of starting to equalize in terms of commercial real estate, and they saw a big opportunity entering the residential markets in Poland, as they considered this sector still being underdeveloped, because it's usually like that, that first industrial development kicks in and afterwards people are starting to improve their standard of life. So that means that residential then it's kind of on their bucket list after they have achieved a certain level of wealth. And as DLE is running a very sophisticated land development business in Germany, as being like the second largest private landowner in Germany, they said the logical next step would be to enter Poland and capitalize on the opportunities which were arising in a blossoming economy at the time. So I guess that was the motivation by the shareholders to take this very courageous step into a completely new market.
Poland's economic growth accelerated rapidly after EU accession. In 2018, Polish GDP per capita was 81% higher than in 2003. The country's economy is one of the fastest growing in the European Union. Poland's wealth and earnings are slowly getting closer to those in richer European countries. In the next 15 years, it could become one of the world's 20 biggest economies, being then a part of the G20. Why didn't the DLE, in your case, go to the Czech Republic, Hungary, or Slovakia, or access even another market? Why is Poland so interesting for German investors overall?
I mean, to answer your question, I think a lot size and volume matters. So Poland is a country that has almost like 40 million inhabitants. This is like with also retail chains, they always enter huge markets first because there's a lot of diversification possible in terms of your investment. Whereas smaller countries, you go bigger risk that a project might fail and then, you know, the whole company performance might be influenced by that. So I think Poland, geographically being the neighbor of Germany and also like by sheer size, was a logical choice. Plus, it is a thriving economy. If you consider Western economies, for example, also establishments like UK, France, Italy, to name suffering ones, then these economies, I think, are much more difficult to find stable, sustainable business opportunities that kind of make sense on the long run and that really offer value opportunities. And I think that was motivation that DLE considers by weighing the pros and cons about entering in a very, very dynamic market, but a partly immature market, to kind of implement a business concept which had already been proven in Europe's strongest economy and in one of the strongest economies worldwide. So I think that was the motivation for the shareholders of EDE, then to enter Poland. And if we historically consider the development of Central Eastern Europe economic zone, then, you know, after the revolution, 1899-90 was like, depends on the country, of course, but Hungary was the kind of first trailblazer. Then in Hungary, it weakened, the Czech Republic took over, had an impressive force over 10, 15, almost 20 years in economic development after the privatization. But Poland slowly took over. I would say about 2011-12 was the breaking point when Poland really clearly crystallized as the leader in the Central European markets, because their volume and also like their rapidly growing infrastructural system is triggered and fueled by EU funds kicked in and gave the country basically the significance that it has nowadays as the absolute engine of Central Eastern Europe.
Almost 160 billion euros in the past 16 years have been invested into Poland, making it one of the biggest receivers of EU funds. Current economic trends say that Polish GDP per capita will overtake the UK economy by 2035. Why is this happening? Is the success of Poland real, or is it more a failure of the UK economy? Has it something to do with the Brexit or the European Union? And how interconnected is Poland's economy with the EU ones anyway?
I think what many politicians also in Poland have forgotten over the last 4 years, establishing a little or emphasizing their national character, is that Poland is highly dependent on European funds and highly dependent on an integrated European economic zone. I think the success of Poland is, of course, driven by the working ethos of its people, because I have to say, since I'm there, I'm very impressed by the hardworking. I think the success of Poland can be explained with two different very important factors. One of them is the hardworking people in Poland. I'm very impressed since I'm there. And I think in a nutshell, you could say that Poland is not saturated yet. The people are hungry. They really want to achieve something. They don't rely on the state. They really think that their fortune is in their own hands and there's nobody to take care of them. So in that sense, they have a bit of an American approach, yeah, to business life. You have a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in Poland, and people are, as I said, not saturated yet. So you find employees and entrepreneurs being extremely flexible in terms of work and performance. On the other hand, of course, the effects of European money and the free trade within the European zone has massively contributed to the benefit of the Polish economic development over the last, especially 15 to 20 years, when we saw the uprising of the sleeping giant, I would say, which is now one of the future most decisive economical trade and marketplaces in Europe.
You already mentioned it. The society is not saturated. The Poles have a strong and hardworking mentality that is one of a kind in Europe. In what terms does the Polish working ethos differ from the Czech one, from the German one, or from other countries in Europe? Do you see a big difference, or do you simply see an underdeveloped country that received a lot of EU funds and got back on the right track?
You know, what I've learned over the last 15 years in CE is certainly that every country is very different. There might be common Slavic roots between the Poles and the Czechs, but there's also a common history of Czechs and Germans, and all these common histories bear a lot of complications. Yeah, if we speak about Germany and Czech or Czechoslovakia, the logical complication is for sure what happened during and after the Second World War. The same with Poland and the Germans. And even between the Poles and Czechs, there's a lot of kind of, let's say, common history, which is not contributing only to good relationships. Yeah, so, but what I've really learned to see these markets very separately, because everybody has this very own mentality. Czech people can be very entrepreneurial, but Czech people lean very much towards Germany in terms of economy, and they're not emphasizing their national character as intensely. They're not as nationalistic, if I might not over-exaggerate this, but they're not as much focused on their patriotic scheme as, for example, the Poles. The Poles see themselves as deprived, as a deprived late leadership nation, and this is kind of more important to them in certain regards than economical development, because the Poles have been pushed around between Russia and Germany historically for hundreds of years between these big empires. So that shaped their national character. And you can tell, you got to be careful in Warsaw if you ever kind of play with any kind of ressentiments or stereotypes, because the Poles might take that heavily, whereas in Czech Republic, this factor, for example, is not as important. And the Germans, of course, logically, on the other hand, are not emphasizing patriotism very much because, you know, of the consequences of the Second World War and their imperialistic kind of behavior beforehand. So all these countries have their very specific complications in relationship with each other, and also working in those countries is very different, even though the European Union provides for kind of common standards in certain regards, which then make it possible to interact kind of borderless, yeah, in certain ways, especially economically. There's common legal grounds, and there is very often common economical agreements, which make it easier to facilitate free trade and cross-border joint ventures.
Since the beginning of the war in Ukraine, a lot of things have changed. You have joined the DLE Group 2 years ago without a war going on in Ukraine. Surely you had another imagination of working in Poland or other goals you've personally set. But those goals, are your imagination completely changed after war in Ukraine, didn't they? How did the war in Ukraine affect your business model? Because policy-wise, it has been really impressive. Poland allowed 3 million Ukrainians to enter their country. They took over a leading role within the European Union. The Polish military is pushing to double in size until 2030. The budget for military defense spending is growing. All this is stunning and supports your understanding of the Poles being a leading nation.
I think that's the best example, which you just mentioned now, that the Poles had the chance to kind of show their strength and their leadership qualities in this Ukraine, or when a couple of other countries, especially Eastern European, were more hesitant, towards Russia and towards the entire conflict. And the Poles and the Czechs, and I think what unites them is their reservations towards Russia, historically.
You mean a reservation or aversion?
I mean, I wanted to say it diplomatically, so I would rather stay with the term reservations. Aversion might be a bit too strong for certain ways, because there's also historical ties with Russia and even cultural ones. So there is some common ground between these nations, because they're all deriving from Slavic tribes, and their languages differ, but you know, certain things are understandable to each other. And also mentality-wise, there's some crossroads which might be jointly. So, but to come back to your question, Poland had now the opportunity to show up a little bit as a leadership country. I think it was in certain ways also important for the PiS government, which was then still in power, who knows how it would be now after these elections, to kind of, you know, maintain their position as a very patriotic and strong-arming political party which acts in the patriotic best interest of Poland and displays their strength and their new relevance, which was, of course, facilitated by the economic growth, then also to show the world, okay, we're not only economically growing, we're not only supplying goods to the rest of Europe and the world, but we are also there as a present and strong nation in the European context, and we are basically securing the eastern flank of the European Union against, you know, the evil or negative influences. The Czechs, by the way, have a similar opinion towards Russia, different to the Slovaks again, as we can see. So, as I said before, all these countries are very different.
But now with the new government in Poland, we see similar development towards Russia, or not? That means that both countries do position themselves completely against Russia.
The Czechs and the Poles have a very similar stance when it comes to Russia, which is one factor which has united those countries over the last 2 years in certain ways, even though their governments had in other ways very different opinions.
Seeing all those problems, the war, the elections, the happenings after the elections, how do those societal and external challenges affect your business model?
Not to say too much, because we're like a private company. But it wasn't that positive, because our company is fueled strongly by institutional investments, and especially German institutional investors got cold feet at the moment that the Russians invaded Ukraine, because everybody was kind of afraid that it would just take them days and then they could stand at the Polish border and who knows where they would stop and their rockets would have Warsaw or Berlin in reach, which all didn't materialize. But it's very hard on capital and markets to kind of reestablish trust once it's gone. So our business model and our business was affected in a negative way by all of these events that happened late February 2022. And there still are, but we are hoping that now with the conflict kind of being present for a while, and you know, the danger of kind of spreading to neighbor countries is more than marginal, we expect investors to come back. But certainly it wasn't easy times for investment in Poland, because Germany is traditionally the biggest partner for the Polish economy, and Germans in particular had strong reservations against this conflict.
The biggest economical partner of Poland is Germany, with 25% of exports going towards the West. And the second biggest, which is kind of interesting, is Czechia, with around 7%. Those numbers show that there are strong ties between those countries that aren't to be underestimated. But let's have a look into the future, Markus. We had struggling times for investors in Poland in the last 2 years. But how do you see the future? What is your company's outlook into the future of Poland? Is it bright in terms of investment? How does the new government affect your prediction? Because Donald Tusk and his government are definitely EU-friendly.
What people tend to forget is that the economic bonds were always what was holding Poland and Germany together, even over the last 4 years of peace agitation against Germany, because they have 160 billion euro trade volume only over the last years, vice versa. So these were factors which already were bonding these two countries together, apart from the political kind of masquerade which was maintained, maybe it's because also of the elections, or certainly because of the elections. Our outlook remains positive, because we really believe that with a new government in Poland and the embedding into the European Economical Zone again and friendliness towards Brussels, first of all, the frozen funds will be unlocked, which amount to 110 billion out of the EU structure funds and infrastructure funds for Poland, which will fuel massive development in Poland without a question, because Poles have shown in the past that they use EU funds wisely, and that these really stimulate economic growth further even in Poland, which makes it even easier for foreign investors to establish businesses there and to bring labor and to bring in economical development into Poland. So our outlook then in that case remains very, very positive. And following, we also see the natural growth of German and Polish relationships if there would be a new government, because many German investors had strong reservations to invest into Poland while this government was in power, because they felt not welcome, because they felt that PiS was actually trying to establish barriers for investment rather than helping economic growth in certain ways in these bilateral relationships. So if Donald Tusk, the former president of the European Commission, manages to unite the opposition out into a joint government, then our outlook for the relationship between Poland, Germany and the European Union remain very positive, which will also have positive effects on the investment market and other industries.
This year, the European elections will take place, and I'm sure that Poland's role and influence in the European Union bodies will grow. Also, and at least to send a strong signal to the Polish people that the EU is not working against Polish interests. In contrast, the European Union needs a strong economical, moral and military partner in the East. So dear Markus, thanks for talking to me and sharing your experience and opinions on the current events in Poland. It's really interesting to talk with you about the investment structure, Polish society, politics, and especially Poland compared to the Czech Republic and Germany. Thank you very much.